He finished explaining to the others.
The bastard thing must feed off the bodies as they rot away.
What if you were alone?
It was a good question.
Probably just do yourself to death.
JB passed the boy his stutter gun.
However, there's enough wags in there for an army. Some of them in good condition. I'm going to steal us some wheels to replace the horses.
Jack inspected the shine bottle.
Not enough.
Mildred passed over the bottle of witch hazel from her medkit.
Here, use it sparingly. That's all we have.
JB removed the cap and took a sniff.
Phew. Even better than the shine. This'll work fine.
Not go alone. I come.
Jack dug a rag from his jacket. It was stained with oil from cleaning his blaster, but still serviceable.
Get backpacks first?
JB shoved two more shells into the feet of his shotgun.
I'm going to chill that big flower first. That seems to be the source of the drug.
How are you going to ace the weed? Bullets didn't work.
Dean shouldered the Uzi. The armorer frowned.
I know, and setting it on fire might only make the perfume deadly. We need some way to neutralize that bastard thing. Kill it root and branch.
Mildred glanced at the ruins.
Maybe there's some herbicide in one of the stores. No, these are office buildings and such. Not a hardware store or greenhouse in sight.
Explosives?
JB frowned.
We had a lot, sure.
How about car batteries?
Yeah, not bad. Good call. I think that should work fine. Jack with me. Doc, Dean, you two are on guard duty. Mildred, see what you can do with Ryan and Christy. Don't start a fire. We aren't going to be here that long.
Holding the witch hazel-soaked masks, the men stealthily entered the sports arena. The bones of 100 corpses littered the floor, bits of clothing and boots visible amid the greenery. Backpacks and duffel bags were prominent lumps, and the barrels of discarded weapons were everywhere. The men walked hurriedly among the wags, inspecting them for damage and rust. Too many of the vehicles were civilian cars with bald tires, the bodies stripped of bumpers, seats, and chrome to save weight and increase gas mileage. Few had hoods, and none had batteries. Spotting a van in decent condition, JB used a knife blade to flip the grill lock, lift the hood, and check inside. The battery was gone like the rest, a corroded mess eaten away by its own internal acids.
Yeah.
Jack lugged a battery into view. The lead terminals on top were covered with flaky white material, but the casing seemed intact. Removing the plastic caps with one hand, JB kept his mouth covered as he walked the heavy battery to the plant and awkwardly poured out the concentrated sulfuric acid onto the base of the stalk. Instantly, the plant seemed to lose color, and the aroma in the air took on a sour smell. Splashing on more witch hazel, Jack brought over another battery and did the same thing to the flower. Now the leaves began to wilt, the blossom closing its petals protectively. Dropping the dead battery, Jack flexed his hand, and a knife slid into his palm. Slashing at the fibrous petals, he hacked open a hole, and JB poured the contents of another old battery directly inside. Now visibly wilting, the flower withered and began to turn brown. Closely watching the roots they were standing on, the men nervously waited a few minutes to make sure the acid had worked. Acid rain in the Deathlands could strip the flesh off a man's bones, it was so strong. But out here on the East Coast, the rain wasn't that strong, and was coming with less frequency. That was why Virginia and Georgia had living green trees, and not just endless sterile sand. Experimentally, JB lowered his cloth and inhaled.
Dark night, what a smell! It's like burning tires mixed with shit and rotten eggs.
Feel okay?
I feel like vomiting.
JB held his nose shut and gasped for air through his mouth.
Oh, shit, I can taste it.
Hesitantly, Jack lowered his mask and risked a sniff.
Smelled worse. Not by much, though.
Come on, let's find a wag we can use.
Ryan awoke to the sound of an engine. Groggily, the man grabbed for his blaster and tried to sit up.
No, not taking me anywhere!
Hey!
Dizzy, Ryan tried to focus his vision, and realized he was fully dressed and sitting on the sidewalk, resting against the facade of the arena. Mildred was beside him, her fingers on his wrist, checking his pulse. Doc and Dean stood a few yards away with blasters held at the ready, obviously on guard duty.
Oh, God. What happened?
It felt like he had a mouthful of hairy cotton. His head was throbbing, and every muscle was sore. Mildred released his wrist and offered a canteen, which was gratefully accepted.
Jack chilled some greenies trying to drag you and Christy back inside the arena.
Fucking plant.
Ryan forced himself to stand.
Don't go inside. The perfume is a drug.
She nodded and took back the canteen.
Yeah, we figured that out pretty quick. We put some witch hazel on rags, and JB and Jack aced the flower and got us a wag.
Grunting in reply, Ryan drew the Sig Sauer and checked the clip. It was empty, and he seemed to have no more loaded magazines. Fire blast. How many rounds had he fired to get them out of the building? Loose rounds were sewn into his jacket, a few more in the pocket, and Ryan started thumbing bullets into an exhausted clip.
Glad to hear it's chilled. Where's Christy? How is she?
Fine, lover.
Christy's voice came from the darkness. She was sitting nearby on a piece of rubble, massaging her temples. The woman's wild abundance of red hair was hanging limp. He had never seen her so tired before.
Just don't expect much loving soon. I feel like I just lost my cherry during a fist fight.
I had to.
She hushed him with a finger on the lips.
I know. You saved us both. Thank you. I have a nuke storm of a headache, but that's better than the alternative.
Revving engines sounded again, and a Hummer rolled from the building, easily passing through the wide entrance. At the steering wheel, JB bounced the wag down the front steps and parked on the sidewalk. Jack stood in the rear, his hands gripping an M60 machine gun that rested on the gimbal of a short steel post, a long belt of ammo hanging from the breech. JB turned off the engine.
Replacement for the horses. It's in great shape, with a full tank of juice. We got our backpacks again, plus a ton of ammo, six Kalashnikovs, the 7.62mm machine gun, half a case of Grenz, and two Laws. No food, but we're armed for war.
Jack rested an arm on the M60.
Better. We know location.
Ryan came closer.
You found a map.
A nod.
Couple of blue shirts are staring at the dirt inside. They must have stopped here on a wreck, just like us.
Indeed. So where are they located?
JB grinned widely, holding out a folded piece of plastic.
Tennessee. Big red circle around Shiloh Battlefield.
Excellent.
Idiots.
Accepting the map, Ryan studied it closely.
So they're right next to the redoubt, about 100 miles away.
Less than a day in a Hummer.
Dean climbed into the rear of the vehicle and found his backpack. Undoing the straps, he stuffed his pockets with spare rounds for his blaster and stuffed a chunk of smoked fish whole into his mouth, chewing contentedly.
It would be a day's journey if we travel straight there.
Ryan rubbed his cheek. Then the man hawked and spat to clear his throat. There was still a faint taste of the perfume in his mouth. Damn stuff was like glue.
But we're not going to travel directly to their base. The Blues are smart. There might be more landmines and traps on the roads. How's the fuel?
Tanks are full of condensed fuel. That'll last us over 1,000 miles. Plus, we have a can of regular juice.
Even better. So we take 2 days, maybe 3 at the most.
Ryan spread the map on the hood of the Hummer, and the others gathered around.
We'll do an end run and head straight for this valley west of Shiloh. If they're expecting us, they'll be watching the north, east, and south. But why waste Sekhmen guarding their backs?
JB started the engine.
Sounds good. Climb aboard and let's smoke this vill.
Mildred took a seat in the rear.
I just hope Overton didn't have a real army. You know, thousands of men, tanks, planes. Sounds crazy, but he did have brand new AK-47s, unlimited ammo, Hummers, radios, who knows what else.
Spotting his Steyr on the floor, Ryan took the passenger seat next to the driver.
Yeah, we'll wreck them from a distance, soft and low.
He checked over the blaster. He had no recollection of losing it inside the arena, which only showed how far gone he had been. Hit his woman and dropped his weapon. Fire blast. He had to have been totally out of his mind.
You sure that flower is aced?
It's triple chilled. Shriveled like bacon in a pan.
Have there been any problems with the greenies? I wonder why they haven't attacked yet.